Amen. Hey, before the worship band leaves, I wanted to ask each of them. They've led us in a time of worship and Thanksgiving, so I was just going to ask each one of them what they're thankful for this year. So, Brian, drummers never get to say anything.
There's a reason that they don't give me a mic. So. Well, I'm thankful for flannel, for sure.
Tonight, so. All right, all these guys.
Yes, you're welcome. Yes. I'm thankful for my godly family and my friends that the Lord has provided me with. I mean, it's been a rough year for all of us, but I am just so thankful that I am surrounded by a loving family and loving friends.
Cool.
Well, like Brian, I'm also thankful for flannels. thankful for my family who couldn't be here. They're at home, so just thankful for them. Thankful for the opportunity to be up here and play and lead everyone in worship and just get to know everyone on this stage is amazing. So thankful for them.
All right. Well, the prettiest member of our worship team, although Nate, former child actor, close second. But Nicole, what are you thankful for?
I'm very thankful for my son Noah right there, my daughter Avery, my husband Brian. I'm very blessed with such a sweet family. And I'm thankful for my mom and dad and grandma and all the family members. I'm so thankful for this church and Pastor Dave. Very thankful for you because you help us get through things and you help us learn things and be closer to God. So bless you and thank you.
Oh, thanks. Seth, what are you thankful for?
Well, I'm thankful for my lovely wife, Kalea, and as well as my family, some of which are on the East Coast, and I get to see them this holiday, so I'm thankful for that.
When I told him right before we came out, hey, when I asked you guys what you're thankful for, Seth goes, that's going to be easy because I think my wife's going to be sitting right down in front. Steve?
Like to thank the Academy. Actually, unlike Nate, I'm actually really thankful for my stuff. So he was talking about there. No, but seriously, El Pollo Loco. Everyone's saying family, so I feel like but it's true. I'm very thankful for my family who's sitting over here. Yeah, Nate.
Well, if you want to open your Bibles to, I'm just kidding. I am very thankful for my incredible family, my beautiful wife, who recently gave birth to our fourth child. She is amazing. And I'm thankful for our new baby girl, Ella, who is healthy. And after being in the NICU for 11 days, she got out and is better than ever today and as beautiful as ever. And I'm thankful for my dad who's in town and here with us. That's super cool. And I'm thankful for this incredible worship team who volunteer their time week in and week out. And so.
Awesome. I was watching Ella while he was talking about her and she's like putting on a show. It was great. Well, thanks you guys. This is where you awkwardly walk off the stage. Great to get together on a Thanksgiving Eve. Nothing should be a bigger deal to us than to be thankful. It's so central to what it is to be a Christian, to what it is to be human, really. Over in 1 Thessalonians, Paul says to be thankful in everything. And so that's pretty easy to do because you go, well, there's a lot of things I'm not thankful for, but I can always find some things I am thankful for. But in the passage we're going to look at this evening, in Ephesians 5, Paul says something a lot more difficult. Because in Ephesians 5:20, he says, giving thanks always for all things. It's one thing to be thankful in everything, but can we truly be thankful for everything? And that's a real challenge. But I'm going to take you through this these few verses that surround it a little bit and try to get an understanding of this quickly, beginning with verse 15, Ephesians 5. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." In other words, pay attention to how you live your life. To walk circumspectly means as you spend your days, as you spend your life, be looking around. Don't just be, I can't use the word stupid because all these kids think it's a bad word, but don't be ignorant, let's say. And so he goes on and says, redeeming the time. This is key because the days are evil. Redeeming the time means that you're making the most of your opportunities. Weighing out, what is time worth? What is life worth, actually? And a lot of times we just don't think about that much, but if we're living our lives, as I heard somebody say one time, and it seems so obvious that it sounds trite, but she said, how you spend your days is, of course, how you spend your life. And I've never forgotten that, because I think we can so often think about what life is. When we realize what I'm doing right now, this is life. What I did today, that is my life in a microcosm. And so as Paul is addressing these Christians there in Ephesus, he's saying, make sure that you understand your life is worth something. Your time is worth something. And make sure that you live your life paying attention to whether or not your life choices are reflective of those things that you value. And so he continues and says, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Here's what God wants for us. And he goes, first of all, don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. Getting drunk, the word that's translated there, dissipation, is actually the word sozo, which means salvation, and the A in front of it means not. So he says, when you're getting drunk with wine, that's like not salvation. In other words, what salvation is trying to do for you, the way God is going to rescue you, goes exactly the opposite from giving up control of your choices, giving up control of your faculties. The worst thing about not being in conscious decision-making roles in your life and instead giving that over, in this case, for instance, to alcohol, but it could be giving it over to all sorts of other things that just take your awareness of time away, is that life is precious. And so he says, you don't want to give up the control of your life, which is actually what life is all about. It's why the fruit of the Spirit, the last one listed, is self-control. He's saying life is precious. And so don't check out. Don't immerse yourself in something that's doing the opposite of saving you, but be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit of God. How do you do that? Why do you do that? Because life is a gift. And because the Holy Spirit wants to give us life. Jesus said, I came that you would have life and that more abundantly. So God wants us to have the best life we can possibly have. So we want to be controlled by His Spirit, because then He is able to make the most of the moments that we have that are so precious. And so then reading on, he says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We've just been doing that. But he's talking about singing, whether it's even just tunes that are going through your head. It's exposing yourself to that which penetrates at a deeper level. Music is an amazing gift. And music has the ability to change everything about your life if you get the right music. It's why when you go to watch a movie, if you ever watch a movie that doesn't have a soundtrack to it, it seems really corny and goofy, but they know that if you put the right music with a story, all of a sudden it penetrates deeply into you. And that's why worship is so important, because there's something magical that's happening through the use of music in our relationship with God that brings us to a place where we can naturally find a place of gratefulness. So music can do that. And then giving thanks always for all things. It's our habit. To God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally in verse 21, and this is an important concept, submitting to one another in the fear of God. The word submission gets a bad rap, but the Greek word submission just means to make adjustments. It's the word hupotasso. It means you're not rigid and it's either your way or the highway. You better learn to look at life and you better learn to look at relationships and realize if you want to get everything out of life, you have to make adjustments. You can't just always insist, this is who I am. Now, there are people who are able to live their whole life never adjusting to anyone else ever again. They're called single people. I can't say I'm kidding. I'm kidding, but there's some truth to it, okay? But every one of us needs to but seriously, you can have friends and other people in your lives, and it doesn't mean that you're alone. But if you're going to get the most out of life, and remember the context, if you can truly find a way to be thankful for everything, a part of that formula is, are you willing to make adjustments? Because the truth is, not everything in your life is going to go your way. That's what makes it so challenging to be thankful for everything. How can I be thankful for things if I think those things are awful? If I didn't want those things, if those things are even done by somebody who's evil or you know, something that's just completely unfair or disruptive, how can I thank God for that? And it ultimately comes back to how well we adjust. See, in Romans, Paul said that God causes everything to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So that means, sometimes people think that they have this idea that God determines everything, he makes everything happen. Then you end up just having to blame God for everything that happens. That isn't the picture of God that we get in the Bible. The picture of God we get in the Bible is that he gives us an amazing opportunity to make choices, and then whatever it is that we do, he figures out how to fix it, untangle it, salvage it, bring good out of it. And it's one of the amazing things about living in life, but you know, when we have a God like that. But if this is what Paul says, this is the will of God concerning you, then we have to figure out how can we learn to make the kinds of adjustments that God makes in our lives. And then we can truly be thankful for everything. But it helps with Thanksgiving on the horizon here tomorrow. It does help, even as our worship leader shared with us, some of the things that they are thankful for. So that is a good place to start. If we're going to be thankful for everything, let's start with the things that we are like, I am so lucky that that's the case. For many of us, it's, you know, our families. I know for me, I'm just so grateful. My family of origin, that all my siblings that are still alive have been through horrible things in life, but they love God, and I'm grateful for that. And my whole family is that way. I'm so blessed with my wife, Anne, and our kids, and our boys, their wives, our two grandkids. It's like, I just feel like nothing else even matters if that's all I had. But that's not all I have. I can be thankful for my family, but I'm also thankful for my church family. I am sure sometimes, you know, when you're the pastor, you see a lot of people, and sometimes you hear from some of the people who are like really griping and complaining and everything. But let's set those aside for a minute. I am so spoiled by people who are just constantly saying that they appreciate what I do. And I'm trying to do the best I can. It's far from perfect. I know that I can be offensive. And again, like I always say, trust me, it's not on purpose. If I did it on purpose, you would really be offended. But you go through times in church and you're just like, there's always, I know there are people who have my back. All of our staff people are amazing. All of our team of volunteers and so many people in the church who just make me feel like I am just so lucky that I get to get up in the morning and serve this group of people. And every Sunday I go home feeling, you know, tired because I'm old, but I go home feeling like there are so many awesome people that I get to know, that I get to be around, that I get to speak into their lives. So those kinds of things are easy. I can look at other things. I'm like, you know, this, for some people, 2020 has been a tough year. The Lakers and the Dodgers both won championships. I don't care about the other stuff, okay? I am thankful. I wasn't sure I was ever going to see the Dodgers win another World Series. I know they're special because the last one we won in 83 is special to me still, you know? And so, you know, you look for things like that and go, wow, I am really thankful for that. But now when you get to the tricky part, it's a lot harder because I can list all the things that I immediately, it pops into my mind. Wow, I'm thankful for that. I'm so thankful for years that I spent at Calvary Chapel with Pastor Chuck and Pastor Romaine and so many amazing people that were there. And I, you know, it's easy for me to talk about what I'm blessed for. And I've, like I say all the time, I am playing with house money. My life has been so blessed. If I died tonight, I would have no regret. I wouldn't feel like, oh no, that's terrible. I'm gonna die. No, I have been way too blessed, way more blessed than I would ever deserve. But still, that's only a part of the picture because I'm not naive. I understand things happen that aren't immediately recognizable as something that I can celebrate, something for which I'm thankful. And yet, as Paul tells us here, time is a gift. You need to make the most of it. You need to know what the will of God is. You need to make adjustments. And that is our greatest challenge as people who follow Jesus when we come to Thanksgiving. Because the key to us really understanding Thanksgiving is for us to look at the things that we don't immediately think, oh, that's great, and then adjust our awareness until we can say, this happened, but wow, I'm thankful that it happened because of the good that came out from it. Now, I don't know if you read the papers and stuff, but we've been in this pandemic during 2020. And in general, you look at it and go, that's really awful. So as I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking, how can I thank God for the coronavirus? And it isn't that hard to see all of the blessings that have come to us because of that virus. I mean, there are simple things. Like, if it wasn't for the virus, I wouldn't probably, you know, have more of an awareness of, oh, I start feeling a little cruddy, I should probably stay away from people until I feel better. That's always common sense. You're sick, you stay home. That's something that we've all been told. Wash your hands long enough, sing Happy Birthday or Jesus Loves Me, so that you wash your hands long enough to get the germs off. That was always a good idea. But you get into something like this, and I think people are much more conscientious. But also, and I hear this all the time at church, it's like, it has never felt better to see people's faces and to find out they have mouths, you know, to be able to hug someone or to shake someone's hand. And again, I don't ever like push that on anybody. If that's not something you feel comfortable with, I'm totally cool with that too. I'm just saying, I'm in a, you know, what would be considered a high risk category. I'm old, I have type 2 diabetes, but I have to look at life and just go, I know what it feels like for somebody to really need a hug. And then there's their pastor and they're like desperate and I give them a hug. I mean, I'll go, after I greet people, I go disinfect and all that, but it's like, I have never appreciated human contact like I do now. And that's because of this virus. But I also think that, and I thank God for this, we are all living in a death sentence. Every one of us dying. And we never think about that too much. But now all of a sudden, not just Christians, everyone out there is just going, wow, I could die. This might get real. I'm seeing the count of how many people are dying. And that on the one hand seems negative, but like Paul says here, redeem the time. Understand life is short. It doesn't last forever. Will you treasure it? Will you decide what it is worth? Now, I think that people are way, this is way before coronavirus. People are way too paranoid about being safe. And you know, I mean, I ride a motorcycle. The only time I started wearing a seatbelt was when the stupid beepers were in your car and you can't not do it. And plus I got one ticket from Irvine PD, thank you very much. And I'm like, fine, I'll wear the stupid seatbelt. But I look at the percentages and just go, I don't really feel safer wearing a seatbelt than not. And I don't want to hear about your story of your life was saved by your seatbelt. I can tell you stories about people who were thrown out of a car and their life was saved because they didn't have a seatbelt. But the point is, there's always this feeling of how can we be safe? Well, it's an illusion. We're all dying, okay? But this virus has caused everyone to face the fact that life can be short, that life's always short. Today I did a funeral for a woman who's in her 90s and had a great life. And you know, but it still feels like her life was short. It's like, boom, I didn't expect her to die. I knew that she had had a stroke, she was sick, but you just don't, you don't expect that. But because we're having death thrown in our faces all day long, it does help us to personalize and just go, okay, I'm gonna die of something. And yeah, there is a tiny percentage chance that it might be from a virus. What freedom am I willing to give up in exchange for feeling that I'm a little bit of a fraction of a percentage safer? That's the kind of calculations that Paul is talking about here. Weigh out what life is worth. See, you will have a horrible life if you spend your whole life just trying to be as safe as you can possibly be. There are risks to everything that's worth anything. Somebody has said that a caged bird will live a lot longer than a bird that's free. But what kind of a life is it living in a cage? Sorry if you're a bird owner. But it probably makes more sense to own a cat because they just do whatever they want and they just use you for food. But it's like, shouldn't we be thinking about this? My life is ticking away. My wife's mom's 90, and for so much of this year, she's 90 years old, but oh, she can't go to her exercise class, or she couldn't go to her women's Bible study, or she couldn't go out and easily and go to the store and things like that. She's 90. a year of her life is a huge and important and a valuable gift. And it's dealing with things like the coronavirus that helps us to begin to appreciate that life is precious. Life is precious not so that you can preserve it at all costs. Life is precious so that you can appreciate it, so that you can understand what an amazing gift it is. And God gives us life so that we can use it. He has an eternity waiting for us. But anything that happens, I predict that as a result of going through this virus, and thankfully, you know, they've prepared the vaccine or the mark of the beast, whichever you think it is, and one way or another, we're going to get out of here pretty quick. But in the meantime, what good has happened? And I'd say a lot of good is happening. Now, I look at the political situation that we've just gone through, a really divisive time politically, and to a degree, it's still there. Now, most of us didn't say, wow, that was a fun election. This has been great. But I look at it and I go, well, now, some of the good things that this is over, there are a whole lot of false prophets, some of these wacky evangelists that God told them that the election was going to go a particular way. Now we know they're false prophets. Unfortunately, you don't stone false prophets anymore, but still, it might affect their ratings at the very least. But also pastors who were getting obsessed with politics, I'm thankful that it's over. Maybe now they can get back to preaching the Bible. Maybe now we realize our hope is in God, not in government. You know, and I know a lot of people's concerns about the election were because of this horrible, you know, phenomenon that we have of abortion at any stage of a pregnancy, late-term abortions. And I suspect that an awful lot of people who voted Republican did it because they wanted to preserve life. I look at it and I say, God, I thank you that now we can treat life as not a political issue, but we can treat it as a human issue. Now you don't have to pretend like, oh, this is, if you're not a Christian, if you don't think this, or you're not an American, or you're not a patriot, or whatever. Now we can just go, let's talk about it scientifically and humanly. What do we know about the development of these children and what, you know? And so to me, I see that and I'm thankful. I'm glad that we aren't treating life like it's a political issue. Politicians, in case you haven't noticed, they're all narcissists. They're all selfish. They all want their power. That's why you become a politician. No one in their right mind would run for political office. But it is what it is. Now, can we care about something more important than stroking someone's ego? I would say we can. I think there are ways in which we might even be more unified. Now, people go, yeah, but what if we lose a lot of our freedoms as a church? What if they start to restrict us and do all sorts of things against us, take away our tax-exempt status? You know what? I'm not trying to make that happen, but if that happened, I would totally thank God. Because in the history of the church has been strongest when it's under persecution. So if what God is doing right now is moving us into a time when it's a little less convenient to be a Christian, and now we just have to be Christians, even when it doesn't pay, even when it isn't something that will profit us personally, the church has always been the strongest during persecution, always. And so as an American, I always try to vote for the way things I think is best for the country. But when I see something that has happened, and I know I don't need to hear from you that, well, this is still going to get turned around and there's all, okay, fine. If it is, then you're a prophet of God and I'm not. How's that? But I just look at it and go, I want to be thankful moving into another season politically. And I'm thanking God. because I know that he causes everything to work together for good. But it's so important for us to develop the intelligent flexibility to make adjustments, to submit ourselves, hupotasso, to go, okay, this is the way it is. Now, how do we make this a blessing? Because God wants to cause all of this to work together for good. Rigid thinking will always cause you to waste most of the greatest opportunities in your life. Life is too precious to make you feel like half the time when you don't get your way, oh, this is awful. Figure it out. The will of God is that you throw anything at him and he will hand you back a precious gift. For that, I'm grateful. I don't care what sets it up, I'm thankful. People today are so rigid they can't understand even flexibility, that almost everything, even the things that we pray for, there would be great things that happen if God answers that prayer, but there are going to be great things that happen if he doesn't. God is not, you know, desperately hoping that we get it right so that he's able to be God. I remember years ago, Chuck Jr. told me, he told a story about, he said it was the one piece of advice his dad gave him when he was growing up, and his dad swears he didn't give him this advice, but he said, my dad told me, Chuck, whatever you do, make sure that you marry a really ugly woman. And he goes, why would I want to do that? And he said, well, you marry an ugly woman, what's the chances that she would ever leave you? And if she does, so what? So it's the idea that, you know, things always work out and we can always be thankful no matter what happens. Some of you had a wedding and a marriage in the past and you don't have it anymore. Be thankful. You'd still be in it, you know? And I don't mean to be flippant about it, but I just am. So today at my funeral, we were out at the National Cemetery in Riverside, and Barbara, whose mom had died, she was in her 90s, talked about when she was a little girl, and they were out on Halloween, driving somewhere, they were ways away from home, and their truck broke down. They lived out in the sticks in the middle of nowhere, and it was cold and miserable, I think Michigan, and so they had to get out of their truck, this little girl with her mom, and it's Halloween. She wanted to get home so she could go trick-or-treating. It's getting later, they're walking in the dark for miles, and she said when they got to the little shack they lived in, she was like feeling horrible. And her mom said, you're going to go trick-or-treating right here. And she had Barbara go outside, knock on the door, and Barbara had to pretend to have a costume on. So she said, okay, you're a ghost. And she would like, I'm a ghost, trick-or-treat. And her mom would say, I'm a princess, and here's your treat, and gave her a box of cereal. And then she closed the door, and then Barbara came back as a robot. And her mom came out as a lion. Trick or treat, oh hi. And she said, that was the best Halloween she ever had. That's life of saying, I know that God's good. And I know that life and time are precious. And I'm not gonna waste any of it whining about what might have been. I'm going to live my life thanking God for everything because he turns everything into good. He turns everything into blessings. So think about that this Thanksgiving. Stretch yourself a little bit. I know it's not easy. So start by thanking God for all the things that, of course, you're thankful for. But then think of the things that you are least thankful for and stretch your mind a little bit and say, how can I thank God for that? What is something good that is here as a result of that? And then you will truly be living your life the way he designed it. then you will truly be making the most of the opportunity, redeeming the time, experiencing His will. And the thing is, when you can appreciate things that you didn't want to happen, then it's even more easy to appreciate all of the things that have happened in a way that was better than you ever could have expected. Let's pray. Lord, please teach us to thank you for everything. Help us to learn to creatively use our imaginations so that we can find things that are praiseworthy and worth thanking you for in whatever circumstance that there is. Life is short. Help us not to waste any of it whining about things that have already happened. Help us to move forward tonight and tomorrow and to be example of the people who, being filled with the Spirit, redeeming the time, knowing your will, finding ways to thank you for everything. Lord, we appreciate so much the amazing ability that you have to cause everything to work together for good to those you love. We love you for that. Lord, if there's anybody here today who, going into a Thanksgiving, they don't even know that you know them. They've never really given you a chance to work in their lives. They don't have an awareness that there is a God who loves them, who wants to turn everything in their life into blessings. God, I pray that before they leave tonight, they would come up and talk to me or talk to anybody around them and just say, so, how do you follow God? How do you know Jesus? That they would be able to pray a prayer tonight that would then give them the opportunity to have a Thanksgiving like they've never had before. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great Thanksgiving tomorrow. Make it intentional. Stretch yourself a little bit. Not just your stomachs, but your imaginations as well. And I hope to see you all on Sunday as we get back into the book of Acts. God bless you.